Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for the day that you've given us, Lord, for everyone that you've brought here, Lord. And I just thank you for this great love you've given us, Lord, this love that is like an ocean that we're basically just sinking into because it's just so vast and so wide and we can't ever understand how much you love us. But Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for bringing us here today. I pray that you'll be with Pastor now as he comes to speak. I pray that you'll give him the words that we need to hear, Lord, the words that are useful for our hearts and useful for our lives, and that we'll take those truths and take them into our lives and take them with us and make ourselves better for you, Lord, and just to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. May be seated.
All right. Really, really good singing today, and great to have the team together. And we found out this morning that our drummer, Mr. Nico here, had a little fender bender. I guess it's not a fender bender when the car is total. It wasn't his fault, and we're glad that he's okay. Because of all the compassion that the praise team had this morning, the first question we asked was, are you going to be here today to play the drums? So, and yeah, you asked that, I know. So, but anyway, we are glad he's okay. If you saw the pictures of the vehicle, you know that it was quite severe, but we're glad he's safe and sound. We're good to see everybody here today. It's good to see folks on Zoom. And here we are in the month of February and getting ready for springtime. We only got about a month and a couple weeks to our Easter service and also our 20th anniversary of our church, the first Sunday in April. So we want to invite you to come and be here live in the building and be part of what's going on here today. So I'm going to talk about a subject I think is relevant to everybody. I think everybody in this room and everybody watching by Zoom has gone through times of worrying and letting things fester in our minds. And I've learned that most of the things I ever worried about in the past, as I look back in hindsight, it's always been, you know, why did I worry about that? But at the time, it was very, very relevant to be concerned about. And the scriptures talk about it. In fact, I want to say this. I've heard preachers say, well, worry is a sin. I don't know necessarily if it's a sin, because when Jesus spoke about worry, he never condemned it. That's what I want you to get from this. He gave us the avenues to overcome worry, but nowhere do I find him condemning worry and saying it's a lack of spiritual condition. You know, it's hard at times to separate the human structure and the human body and the human mind and the emotions that we have in our lives and our spiritual makeup. It's sometimes hard to mesh them together, and sometimes we think that if we're more spiritual, things won't get to us, things won't bother us, people won't annoy us, which obviously if you've been married for any length of time, you know that's not true. There we go. I got a few. I noticed it was mostly from the women, and so on the whole marriage thing, but that's okay. We forgive you, which we are very forgiving, we guys. We have to be because we're married to you. Anyways, okay, we'll go on from that. I just got myself in a lot of trouble. So you that are at home, talk amongst you and your spouse, clarify that you're okay. If you need counseling, call Pastor Tony, and because apparently I'm no good at this whole relationship thing or whatever. But we do worry, and I worry. I got to tell you, I mean, when I speak to you, it's not because these are the things I've overcame. In fact, in our household, I'm probably the one that dwells more on things than anybody else. I'm probably the one that lays awake wondering how things are going to work out, only to wake up the next day and realize, why did I stay awake so long? But I'm prone to worry, and especially when things are kind of going through and things are kind of crushing on you and a lot of pressure. And the more busy you are, the more you probably have to worry about, the more responsibility you probably have more to worry about. But worry can be a very devastating thing. In fact, I've done a lot of research on this because I truly believe there is a connection from our mental state and our emotional state and our physical well-being. I think there's a connection to this. I know for a fact that certain things we go through and stresses deplenish certain vitamins in our bodies, and it does make us feel down and dragged out and exhausted and things there. In fact, I find myself many times that when I'm going through stress times of worry, is that I become very, very tired. I can't sleep, but it seems like I have no motivation, energy to do anything. And there is a physiological effect to when we're going through times of worry, and that is not healthy. And I got this from one of the websites that talk about the issues of how worry will affect us physically, from a medical website. And what worrying causes, let me give you the list here of what I read, and I've gone through each one of these. It's disrupted sleep. I think we've all had that when we're overcome with worry. Headaches come with it. Difficult concentrating, which is very true. When I'm going through times of overanalyzing everything, or I'm going through times of being, you know, where I'm just dealing with so many things to think about, it's hard to concentrate and focus on one thing. Nausea can make your stomach sick. By the way, some people, when they go through times of stress and worry, there's two responses. Some people don't eat anything, and I'm of that nature. I mean, when I've gone through times of high stress, I can drop weight like nothing else. In fact, it's a great weight loss management for me. Just stress me out, and I can get fit, you know. But I have family members, and I won't point out who it is, my older brother, but basically when he's stressed out, we've been with him when he's stressed out, we stop by the 7-Eleven, he gets two bags of potato chips, and he has them gone before he gets back to the house. And so we all cope differently, but it can affect our stomach and bring nauseation. Muscle tension, it can do that. You ever go sometimes and get a back massage or whatever, and you say, you just need to relax more, and you're thinking to yourself, that's why I'm here for you right now. So exhaustion, irritability. And we know that people can sometimes be irritable. I've never really felt this and understood this because I'm always pleasant to be around. But we're getting a lot of, I don't know what you folks are doing on Zoom. You're probably looking at me like, what are they doing here in the auditorium? They're all laughing right now. Irritability and elevated levels of stress hormone and cortisol. Okay. And then the last one, difficult making decisions. In fact, when you're going through times of worry, it's probably not the best time to make major decisions. And I'm going to talk a few minutes from now about what are some of the things that we can do to overcome worry and some of the trigger points for worry. But in the scriptures, we did this on our midweek motivation for about 4 or 5 months. We went through the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus did talk about worry. And it's also talked about in the book of Luke. And here's what I want to say before we get into the passage here. Is nowhere, and I said this a few minutes ago, nowhere in the scriptures does God condemn us for our human emotions. And I want to make sure that's very, very clear, because there are some in Christianity that have become what I call the overcomer mentality, which simply is this: if you are truly spiritual, then you will have overcome anything that defeats you. Or if you are spiritual, nothing should bother you because you have the greatest strength in the world. Let's make it very, very clear. Spiritual beings, spiritual Christians, can go through every emotion anybody else can be, and it's not a defeat of your spirituality, and it's not a measurement of your spirituality. And I want to make that clear, because the reason why I know that is because that spirituality is not measured by how we feel. Spirituality is measured by our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, sometimes when we worry and we're stressed out, maybe we don't focus enough on the Lord. But there's nowhere we can find any scripture that says that when you are worried and you're lack of trust in God, so therefore you are in sin. In fact, I don't think that worrying is a lack of trust in God. I think it's a temporary misfocus on what we're focused on. But for Christian people, I don't think it is a lack of trust in God. I think it is a human thing that we go through because we have a computer in our head that analyzes information, and the more information we focus on one side, the less we're going to focus on the other side. But it doesn't mean that we're not a spiritual being. And you can find in scriptures, in fact, when we read what we're going to read here, nowhere in there does it really say that you guys are sinful and need to stop this. It simply gives us a reason. And God wants to give us the comfort and care. In fact, God, as a Father in heaven, would say to us as his children, listen to me, okay? I want you to understand the full picture of what life is for you. And if you can get this full picture, then you will at least cope with your worrying or overcome your worrying, because I want you to get how I operate. And the more we know about how God operates, the more confidence we have in him. So that's what we're going to read in Luke chapter number 12 and verse number 22 to 34. And this is Jesus when he's teaching his disciples. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat, or about your body, or what it will wear. Now he could have stopped there and said, listen guys, I'm telling you a commandment. You need to stop worrying. Don't worry about what you have to eat. Don't worry about what you have to wear. Now I want you to get you the scope of this, so you understand where Jesus is coming from. Because if you don't understand the picture we're building here, you don't understand the scope of this. Jesus has just called these disciples to follow him. And when he called these disciples to follow him, remember he said, leave your vocation and follow me? Basically, when they left, it was like an unpaid internship. They left paying gigs to follow Jesus. And obviously, I can imagine, as they're human, if you think about Peter, James, and John, who are very emotional individuals, especially Peter, I imagine they began to worry, where's our next meal coming from? They begin to worry, what are we going to wear? I mean, I had a job that provided all that. Now I'm following you, and we don't have a revenue stream, Jesus. And so I imagine there was some grumbling. If you don't think disciples grumble, read a lot of the passages where they grumbled quite a bit, and Jesus had to calm them down when they lacked in faith and everything. But they lacked in faith because they were normal individuals like you and I. And the interesting thing, they were asked to leave their paying gigs in their jobs to follow Jesus with no guarantee of anything. Just follow him. And so I think Jesus became very aware of this. So he turns to the disciple and he says, listen, I want to tell you something. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Now, he could have stopped right there and said that. But Jesus also wanted them to know why they should not worry. And that's where we get in here the next few verses. He says, for life is more than food and body is more than clothes. Well, that's nice if you got food and clothes, doesn't it? But he says it. Consider the ravens. Now he begins this comparison. And he's probably doing an object lesson looking at birds. And when he's talking about these, he's probably having those in sight. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, but God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? Who of you, by worrying worrying, can add one single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothed the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you shall eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagans world runs after all these such things, and your Father knows that you have need of them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief can come near and no moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now let's talk about this, because he kind of changes gear here. He's talking about two things. And here's what he wants us to get from this passage here. When we talk about our confidence and faith in God and avoiding worry, it has a two-pronged type effect in our life. The first thing he does here, he tells his disciples, I want you to know, I fed the birds, I've watered the flowers, everything out there I've given life to. Aren't you more valuable than this? So the first thing he wants to know is that you're going to be sustained. You're going to be okay. No matter what you think, even though you don't see it today, even though you don't know where it's coming from, trust me, I will provide the physical human needs that you have. That's what he wanted to reassure them. And if you think about it, he had done that over and over. I mean, I think about the feeding of the 5,000, how the object lesson for the 5,000, or maybe even more people, because at that time the census only counted men, so there's probably 20,000 people with women and children. But I think it was an object lesson also for his disciple, who once again probably lacked in faith, that they were able to take some fish and some bread and feed 20,000 people and have enough left over to sustain them for a while. So he wants to make it clear to the disciples and to us about worry. He says, I understand that you worry. There's a reason why you worry. I'm not condemning you worrying, but here's what I want you to know. I will provide your essential needs. Now, here's where we are in American culture. We don't just want our essential needs. We want all the other blessings above that. And that sometimes is part of the culture that we're in. But I think when you get to the place where you look at your life and you thank God for the roof over your head, food on your table, the love of your family, the love of your friends, a community to be in faith with, and then all the other things become very unimportant. The older I get, the more those things become very unimportant. And we all like nice things, but God didn't promise you to provide me the riches of the world. He promised to sustain my life and give me everything I need. And he would say, listen, don't worry about it. I got you. It's a faith thing. I understand. I'm not condemning you for worrying, but I got you. And that's the first thing he tells him. Guys, you're going to get a meal. You're going to have clothes to wear. You're going to be taken care of. But then he changes gears. He goes, but here's the thing about you as followers of me. I want your focus to begin to transcend human thinking. I want you to begin thinking of your life in the realm of eternity. Sometimes we think about if I can live, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, and the older you get, the more you keep pushing the 70 and 80 years, And, I used to think the people in their 60s were just old, and then now I don't because we're all young. But you begin to push it out. But here's the thing, is that we think of life as, I'm looking forward one day to retiring. I hope I have enough money to do that. I want to enjoy life. And we think of that. But here's the reality thing for you and I. This may sound kind of bad to say, but there's going to come a time when our relevancy in the world is going to be diminishing. We're going to find our health begin to diminish. We're going to find our resources begin to diminish. That's all part of the cycle of life, as they call it, and everything else. And what Jesus wanted to say here, I'm going to take care of your needs through your life and everything, but I want you to begin to focus on something more important. This is why you're hanging with me. That's probably what I was telling him. You're going to hang with me. You're going to learn some principles. The principle is this, is that your life is more than what's here. Your life is more than what you see in front of you. Your life is more than food and clothing and material things. He says, put your focus and seek first the things in the kingdom of heaven. And all these things will be added to you, as it says in the book of Matthew, or you will be acceptance of all the things. You will be less materialistic because your focus is, I'm not worrying about the decades I'm on this earth. I want to make an impact for all eternity. And he closes out the whole passage here. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, once again, let's go back to worrying. What is worrying? Worrying is not an intellectual thing or a mental thing, although our mind goes places. Worrying is an emotional reaction to what we think we know or what we think is happening. When he says here, where your treasure is, your heart, which is the place in the heart, but he's not talking about the physical heart as far as pumping blood. He's talking about your emotions will be also. And I have met some very content people in my life that had nothing. But the reason why they were content is because everything they did was focused on what's eternal value. I want to make sure that I'm pleasing God, and I realize I'm going to spend way more time in heaven and with God than I'm going to spend on this earth. And the reason why their hearts are more joyful, and the reason why they're more calm in their life, and the reason why they can overcome worry when they get that way, because they realize whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm dealing with, whatever stress I'm under, it doesn't matter. What matters is things of eternity. And what I do with this time, even during the down times, what effect and influence am I going to have on other people for eternity? But really what he's pointing out here is, listen, guys, I want to teach you to get your focus off the earthly things and on the heavenly things. I want you to get your focus on, just the $1 million and tomorrow's revenue and your savings account and all that. I want you to focus on the things that are spiritual and the things that are godly. And in fact, Paul says this in Philippians, think on these things. He says, and where your treasure is, where you focus what's important, where your treasure is, where your priorities are, and where your focus is, that will be your heart also. You change your focus, you change what you value is important, you will change your emotions and worry. Now, it's not easy. We are all going to worry. We're all going to come to times where we just feel like we've lost it and everything else, and I'm going to talk about how to cope with that in a second here. But I really want you to get that. I am a worrier. I don't worry as much. I have what I call episodes of concern and worry. And it's usually the funny thing. It's triggered by stuff that basically doesn't mean a thing. But I go through this too. I'm thankful that I know that God's not mad at me for worrying. It's not a lack of faith, overall faith in God. It's a temporal situation where my attention got focused on something that I should not be focused on, and reminding myself that when my life is over and I've said goodbye to this world, what I've done, what I've invested in my life in, what I do for eternity is a lot more important. The first thing my mother and I are going to talk about when I get to heaven is not how well I did financially on this earth when I get to see her. That's not going to be the conversation. It's not going to be a pat on the back for all that I've achieved or whatever. It's going to be, your service for the Lord and your service for God and your involvement in things that are spiritual, that your treasure is more in line with that than in line with material things. Let me give you some thoughts here now, some practical things that I've learned, the ways to deal with worrying. And I kind of put this together as both a spiritual lesson, but also a practical from those that are psychologists and stuff, and I'm not a psychologist and stuff, but I've learned this from my own self, and when I've actually talked to counselors and stuff, how to deal with this, whatever, so I want to talk to you about this and ways of dealing with worrying. The first one is transfer your problems to God. I put this, because usually what you put in this point here is pray about it or pray to God. I think we need to transfer. Here's the thing. God has promised us many things. We need to tell God, God, you promised me, and I'm transferring my concerns to you. Second of all, talk to someone about what you're worried about. One thing about worrying is usually a worrying is we feel a lack of things, and we feel somewhat like we're weak. And the last thing we want to do is tell somebody, I'm worried about something, because we don't want to expose our weakness. A lot of reasons why folks won't go to counseling and won't get help when they're going through different things in their life, including addiction, whatever, is because they don't want to admit they're weak. But let's just get it clear right now. Every one of us is weak. Every one of us has the same. There's nobody has ever achieved the place they don't feel weak and sometimes alone or whatever. And sometimes we're afraid to talk to somebody because we're afraid, especially when it comes to church people, because church people are great for putting on facades. We're great at putting on masks. We're great at putting on, we want everybody to see what we've achieved. We want to walk in and make sure everybody knows I'm not falling apart, when it's okay to say I'm falling apart. And we need to talk to someone about that. It may not be a pastoral staff. It may be a friend. It may be part of your group that you're in, whether you're in a ladies group. We've had some good discussions in our praise band and praise singers group where we know what people have gone through, and they've gone through their falling apart. We need to talk about those things. And I have found that the greatest thing that we do, and guys, we're the worst at this. We're the worst at getting help and talking to somebody about what we're going through. And to the wives that are out there, please understand, sometimes you're the last one we want to talk to because we don't want to admit weakness when you're expecting strength. But at many times, weakness is there. And we need to find others to talk to or find resources that we can listen to be able to cope through these things. So if you're going through times of worrying and you're dealing with worrying, talk to someone about what you're worried about. Second or thirdly, analyze what triggers your worry. Everything has a trigger. Now I'm going to get into something here real quick here. Is there are triggers that are visual. There are triggers that are mental. There are triggers that are habitual. Is I have noticed, and even in my own life or whatever, that there are certain things that trigger depression and worry. In fact, during the wintertime months, we have 3 days with no sunshine, is a big trigger for me. Things that we're addicted to can trigger worry. We can be triggered from worry simply about, you know, you can get triggered on every day that you are looking at your bills. It's bill day, I got to look at this. It can trigger worry. Your health can trigger it too. I remember years ago that when I did more counseling, you know, than I do now, I had a couple that came and talked to me, and basically is every Saturday they seem to be having arguments. I mean, the way it was described is that he was a beast to live with on Saturday. And I asked him, I said, okay, so what are you doing on Friday? Well, he's going out with the boys, and he's going bowling, doing different things. And I said, and what are you doing there? Obviously, and having a number of beers and stuff. And I said, okay. He says, the next morning, he's got the worst hangover. And the husband says, I wasn't drinking much. And I said, you need to stop it there. You need to go to your doctor, and you need to tell your doctor what you're dealing with here, because I have a suspicion. And sure enough, went to the doctor. The doctor, I'm not sure if it's hypoglycemic or which one it is, but because of what was in the beer and the carbohydrates, he was crashing, and it caused mood swings the next morning. That triggered emotional response the next morning. Sometimes it's a physical thing that we're being triggered by. And so analyze what's triggering your stress, your worry, your outrage, or whatever it would be, because it may be something you have not thought about. To me, is when I get the most worried is usually when I'm alone, overly analyzing how things are going. And the hardest part about this last year is not being able to come into an office and work, you know, at the church here and be here with camaraderie. I mean, yeah, Tony and I are the only two who work together, but I actually miss seeing Tony. I mean, that tells you a lot, by the way. But because, we can't turn the heat on in the offices during the week and stuff. It's just, it's frustrating because there's not that camaraderie. There's not that outlet or whatever. And I find myself needing outlets of things more and more. And so to me is learn what triggers it. Let me give you a couple more here. Change your personal conduct that causes worry. Let's just face it, and I'm going to cover one area. I've talked to people, and a lot of times younger couples, not so much younger couples anymore in families, that are dealing with the stress of money. Anybody ever been stressed over money? And I got to be honest with you, and I'm going to get a little meddling here, okay? But I believe there are things that we need and have to buy. I think you know what they are. Food, you know, clothing. Last year, toilet paper, apparently, a lot of Clorox. And I have found that sometimes when people are stressed about worry, it's because they've inflicted themselves with bad spending habits. Now, I understand there's a time when you got to do what's called, you know, shopping therapy, retail therapy. I just got to get out of here and, you know, I understand a little bit of that. But I've seen people that have financial problems to the point to where everything is crushing in. And after they're complaining and they're stressing and they're seeking solutions and they're asking to borrow money and stuff like that, then you notice that their spending habits, because everybody likes to share what they're doing on social media, you're like, I don't even buy $100 shoes. And you're like, there's the problem. Learn to live within your limits. Your worry will be depleted. Learn to prioritize. And I got to say this for myself, okay? I'm not a big shopper at Costco's because it's a scary place. You know, it's just a big, giant place. And I'm not one to go to stores in the first place, okay? But I got to tell you, let's talk about blue jeans. This is a little meddling now. You're going to love this. When someone says, yeah, I paid $80 for these jeans, and I say I paid $12, and it's the same material, I'm thinking to myself, you could have bought four pair. I'm not good at math either. I worry about people that are stressing their money. I'm thinking, first of all, who are you trying to prove anything to? I mean, first of all, the last year we haven't needed to buy anything big or anything because we haven't been able to see people. I mean, we got masks on our face everywhere we go, and so, you know, we don't even have to shave, you know, because who cares? And I think to myself, when people tell me they're worried about this and money, what I think, change your personal conduct that causes your worry. And by the way, the Bible is clear on a lot of these things there. Because the Bible tells us that how to handle finances so we don't have to worry. And if you ever want to look into Dave Ramsey, who has great material on finances for Christian people or anybody, you can learn some great principles to keep you from worrying. Let me give you a couple more. I'll be done here. Take one day at a time. In Matthew, it says this, that, you know, tomorrow has enough trouble for itself. Take one day at a time. And then the last one I threw in there because I really believe this is important. You need to exercise your mind and body. Read. Do something that exercises your mind. But also, I truly believe that exercise, activity, keeping active is a great way of removing worry and stress. Those are some practical ways of doing it. But overwhelmingly, I wanted to get back to the spiritual point, is keep our focus on eternal things. You're not taking anything with you. You're leaving it all behind, material things. You're taking with you what you've invested in the Lord's work and what you've invested in your spiritual life and the influence you've had on your family, your friends for the things that are good. Keep that in mind. Let me give you the walk away here. Walk away is this: worrying does not take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace. When I get home today, I have a pile where I keep the bills. They're still going to be there. And if I sit there and worry about things for the future, whatever, it will rob me of today's peace and joy and serenity. And here's the funny thing I've learned, this is humanly, is everything I ever worried about never really came to fruition. It never really came to fruition. Things got better. And I'll end with this. If we really want to focus on things in our life, let's focus on the Lord, obviously, but let's focus on our families. Let's focus on our friends here. I look forward to seeing all of your faces each Sunday. I miss those that are on Zoom. I'm glad some come on the Midweek Motivation so I can see your faces on Midweek Motivation. But to me, when it's all said and done, this is life. What's on my debit card or my credit card, that's not life. This is life. This is what breeds happiness, is seeing folks here and seeing folks grow in the Lord and seeing the friendships that we have. That ought to help us not worry so much. Put those things past. Don't worry about them. God's got a plan. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? I wanted to talk a little bit today because I'm aware of society stresses and people stresses and all that. I'm aware that people go through these things there. And I go through them, and so I share from my own heart here too. But, and if you're going through a struggle and you got something that you're truly concerned about and it's at a point where it's worrying you like crazy, talk to somebody. Talk to one of us. If it's in our abilities to help relieve the stresses you're under, we are there for you. The problem is sometimes we don't know. And it's not a weakness to share what you're worried about. And as much as I know I'm guilty of that myself, it's not a weakness to share what you're going through. The Bible tells us to, place all our burdens on one another, to come alongside others and to lift them up and sustain them. And we can't do that if we don't know what you're struggling with. So I want to encourage you. If you're going through a bad time, you're worried, you're stressed out, talk to somebody you know in the family. I'm talking about the spiritual family, your church family, and see where God can help lift you up. I'll say this one last thing before I pray. We were never meant to go through life alone. We were never meant to go through life alone. And if you're isolating yourself from everything, then that's a bad trip to get on. We were designed in our nature for fellowship. We were designed with the need of fellowship. One of the things I have a concern about this last year is kids that haven't been in school is the fact it's not the academics, but I'm worried about the camaraderie and the fellowship they need to be able to grow together in relationship. We were designed this way. And by the way, we were designed to have others help us, but we're also designed to help other people. And you're robbing people of the joy of doing that if you don't talk about the battles you're going through. So I want to encourage you, if you're worried, share your worries, help us, let us help to be your strength. We really want to be there. Father, we're thankful for all that you do. We ask, Lord, that you would just use these talks each Sunday, Lord, to be able to benefit us. We try to make them spiritual, theological, but as practical as can be, Lord, because we live, Monday through Saturday in the real world to where the stresses of life are out there. And God, I hope that our church provides comfort, sustainability, friendship, camaraderie, but also some meat of the word and that can help people to be able to get through the next days, Lord. We're here for each other. Thank you for our church. We appreciate you bringing us together, whether here in person or on Zoom. And God, we're thankful coming up in about a month, we will celebrate 20 years of ministry. It's been a great run. It's not been easy. But God, I look forward to seeing all the faces here as we celebrate 20 years on Easter. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.